This sermon is called Satanic Slander, Seeds and Swords of Discord. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 12, the Bible says this, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers." Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. You know, sometimes you got to read this Bible, actually all the time, and you have to read it. You have to read it not like a storybook, but actually like it's the words of life. Amen. Do you understand that? I'm going to record. Are you doing fine over there? Okay. I'm going to record this on here because I know the devil hates me, so anyway, I already know my sermon. I've preached like this before and had that sermon go whoop, and it was gone, so I'm going to go ahead and record it too. All right, but notice what it says here. It says broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. That goes hand in hand with the next one, by the way. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. I want to talk to you about sowing discord tonight, what it is and what it is not, and teach you and show you what the Bible says about that, and give you what our responsibility is concerning that. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Help us, dear Jesus. We need you. Holy Ghost, I pray you'd fall upon this place. I pray that you would convict our hearts. Lord, I pray you would root out the rebellion. I pray the Word of God would drive it far from this place. I pray the Word of God would drive it far from the hearts of anyone that listens to this sermon, Lord, that they hear it and they stop their rebellion against God and they stop their discord and their wickedness that they are causing, that you would be magnified, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, to think that the devil will leave this church alone is to live in a delusion. To think that he'll not plant tares among the wheat is also to live in delusion. To think that you and I can battle against Satan's kingdom and there will be no blowback is to be blindsided by Satan. It is to be absolutely blindsided by Satan. We cannot think that that's not going to happen. We must understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Some of the sermons that I preached a year ago, go back and listen to some of them. Just go back and listen to some of them and see how the Lord was using those messages as a warning of what was to come. Right. A warning, and they are so explicit, they will scare you. And that wasn't me, that was just the Lord. Right. I was the Lord using me and showing me. But you'll see, point by point, and you'll be like, well, that happened. Yeah. That happened. Yeah. That happened. Right. That happened. I know. And what just happened was told to you was going to happen. Right. Yeah. Satan sows, and his children sow seeds of discord. They take their swords and they attempt to destroy the work of God. See, preacher, you really believe the devil's after you? Oh, you better believe it. He's not only after me, he's after this church. He wants to pick apart people and pick them off and take them off. And if he could sow some seeds in the church and watch them grow and be ready to reap the harvest, he will. Psalms 55:21 says, "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords." Like a sword. His words were like, he had war in his heart. Those that sow discord, they have war in their heart. Psalms 59:7 says, "Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for who say they doth hear?" Proverbs 30, verse number 14 says, "There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." Their mouth is like a sword. But I want to deal with some, before I get to these swords and seeds of discord, I want to explain to you something that I think needs to be taught to you, so you will understand what is and what isn't discord. Because I think Satan gets a foothold because we are ignorant, and we listen, and people say things that they should not say, and some people that want to sow seeds of discord sow them, and they don't want to get caught. So they whisper and they backbite in private. And then, well, you can't say anything because then otherwise you're sowing discord or you're backbiting. No, that's not backbiting. I'm going to teach you why that's not tonight. So the first thing I want to cover with you is every man has a report, good or bad. Right. Every man. Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Brother Dave and I talked about this. And it stuck in my mind, Brother Dave. It stuck in my mind when you said that. And I think somebody else said it. It might have been Lee. I'm not sure who it was, or Nate. I can't remember who it was. But when I get a couple witnesses of something, is God showing me, hey, you need to talk about this. You need to explain this. I've had two witnesses, by the way, in this church of this very thing happening. Somebody trying to sow seeds of discord in the church and hide it under the guise of, well, that person should have came to me and told me that I was running my mouth like a wicked devil. So they blamed the person that was being that they were sowing the seeds on, and not themselves for what they did. Some of you that were in that meeting, you caught on to that. I made it evident that you would catch on to it, because I said it very clearly, and I pointed my finger and said, "That's exactly what that is. I've heard that before, and that's a satanic trap." That's a satanic seed right there that's planted. So you can't speak about anything, or you can't talk about anything. Well, the Bible says very clearly, number one, that every man has a report, good or bad. Who you are follows you. What you say and what you do, there's a report. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 2. "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Why did he do that? He shouldn't have been gossiping. That was terrible. No. He said, "Dad, I was out there with all my brothers, and they're wicked. They're doing wicked things. They're saying wicked things. They're acting wicked. They're doing wrong things." Some speculate what it was. The Bible doesn't say very clearly. But we know how wicked Joseph's brethren were. So we understand that they were some wicked guys. They were doing a lot of stuff that were. So Joseph went back to his father. What did he do? Notice, who did he go to? His father. He went to the authority. And he told his father. You know what keeps sowing discord down in the church? When you take it to somebody who can do something about it. You know why people get away with it? Well, number one, they do it behind my back. Right. Yep. And they always wait till I'm not around. Yep. And then they sow their seeds. Why? Because they can't face it head on. Yeah, exactly. They know they can't face it head on. Satan knows he can't face it head on. Yeah, not in the light. That's right. Can't do that. Of course not. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sow these seeds of discord when nobody's watching. I'm doing it in private. No, you take it to the person that's the authority. They have a report. There's an evil report there. It's not wrong. Was Joseph wrong to tell his father that his brethren were wicked so he could deal with his brethren? No. Joseph brought it unto his father, their evil report, for not being able to bear with their evil deeds and yet not having authority enough, being a junior, to reprove or correct and check them. He reported them to his father. What things were reported is not said. Perhaps their quarrels among themselves, their contempt of Joseph, their neglect of their flocks. So what's the idea here? Okay, so people sow seeds of discord around you and backbite. They'll do that around new believers, around young believers, and they'll plant seeds. Why? Well, they're not going to do it in front of me, right? They won't do it in front of a man that is an older brethren in the faith in this church. Why? Because that brother's going to shut him down. That's why. Yeah, because they've experienced and they look at it. No, you can't talk about people like that. Done. They know who to do it around. Joseph took it to the authority. He said, this is going on. That's what needs to be done, because Joseph was his junior. And what I have found is I have seen this before. I have seen that there are young believers and these older men have done this, that have mischief and deceit in their heart. They have backbitten, they have done these things, and they go to the younger brethren that's weaker. And they plant those seeds with them because they can get away with it. Because that younger brother, he feels intimidated to say something, just like Joseph did. So Joseph took it to his father. They would not be rebuked by the younger brother. And some of you have seen and heard men that were backbiting their brethren, and you could not rebuke them very easily because they were older than you. By the way, they also manipulate you and put you in a position where they have an advantage and they're doing something for you. So if you say something, then you feel bad about saying something because they're doing something for you. See how that works? You see how satanically wicked that is? You see how absolutely nasty and dirty and defiling that is? Wicked devils. But the Bible says very clearly that every man has a report, evil or good. They have a report. And it's not a sin if you must give an honest report of that man. That's not slandering him. We're going to talk about what slander is. There is a way some wicked men that sow seeds of discord with others do things. They try to use the Bible to cover up their wicked seeds of discord that they're sowing. They backbite their brethren, then say, well, no one told me I was doing wrong. As if they don't know bashing their brother is wrong. Well, why didn't anybody come to me and tell me I was doing that wrong? So you go in to tell authority, you go in to tell the pastor or somebody else about it. That's backbiting. I physically watched a man after I preached that sermon last year. Oh, the Lord reveals a lot, doesn't he? Right after I preached that sermon, called a meeting and said, all the men need to go over here now. I want to know who told on me that I was backbiting and whispering against everybody, because that person needs to be churched out. Thank you for revealing who you really are. It's funny because, you know what? I always know that when I hear when I get the backlash, I'm right over the target. God has me right over it. I'm right there where I need to be. And when I have all the pushback, it's like, okay, keep driving. So is that man right? Am I wrong? Is he wrong to give? Are you wrong to give the evil report of what somebody else has done to those that are in authority, those that can deal with it? No, of course not. But that's what they want you to believe. Right. They want you to believe that it's wrong. Why? Because they're manipulating you. Right. They're manipulating you. Does God want us to allow somebody to continue to sow evil seeds of discord? Does he want that? In the name of, well, I don't want to bash anybody. Well, it's not bashing somebody telling the truth about what they're saying or what they're doing. That's not bashing anyone. They're the one bashing people, but they hide in a cover. The Bible says very clearly that we're not to raise up a false report against somebody, though. It says in Exodus 23:1, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. If I'm a witness to something, I need to tell the truth. That's not wrong. Have you ever noticed how you're made to feel wrong when you tell the truth about somebody and you feel bad about it? Let me help you with something. You're being satanically manipulated. Satan is using that to manipulate you. You are feeling bad for giving a report on somebody else's evil. You are being played with. You're being played with because you're being told, you're being made to feel bad because somebody else backbit and whispered against somebody, but you're being told that you're made to feel like, well, I feel bad even saying this. Why do you feel bad telling the truth? Right? Why do you feel bad? I've had people say, well, I feel bad about this. No, don't feel bad. Feel good. I'm not going to let some wicked devil make me feel bad because I'm telling the truth. What are you, nuts? You're not going to make me feel bad because I'm telling the truth about something that happened. They're wicked. They need to repent. I call that satanic psychology. That's what Satan's doing. He's using that satanic psychology on you to make you feel bad for telling the truth about somebody that's backbiting and living like a devil and talking like one. Mm-hmm. See, those are satanic mind games right there. It doesn't say not to report at all. It says not to give a false report. If I'm telling the truth, I'm telling the truth. I need to give the true report. It's an interesting language. Somebody's speaking in tongues back there. What is that? Is that your baby doing that, Joshua? Is that mine? She's a girl. She's not supposed to speak in church. I don't care if she's 13 months old. Anyway, sorry. It's the number of rebellion. Oh, no. She's almost 14. It's like 3 days, and she's there. All right, we'll get rid of that number real quick. You got to tell somebody who can help them, though. You're never going to help somebody by allowing them to sow seeds of discord, to backbite and everything else in the name of compassion. That isn't compassion. That's not compassion. It's allowing somebody to sin. It's not rebuking thy neighbor. It's hating them. You're suffering sin upon him. Thou shalt not hate thy neighbor in thine heart. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 25 says, this day will I begin to put the dread and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. They heard a report of them. There was a report. Every man has a report. If you don't want a bad one, then live for God and do right. Amen. Don't expect your brethren to lie for you. If your work and your deeds are awful, then you have a bad report and you need to repent. It's the best part about being a Christian, though. You can repent and get right with God. It's never too late for God's children to get right with him. First Samuel chapter 2, verse number 22 says, now Eli was very old and heard that all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear ye make the Lord's people to transgress. He said, you have a terrible report. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not to the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Every man is an evil report or a good report. 1 Kings 10:6. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. It's a true report. Solomon, the report of Solomon. Proverbs 15:30 talks about a good report. Look at this. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you know that you have done right and you are walking with the Lord, I'll tell you what, no matter what that trial is and you know you're right with God, you can get through that trial and have the joy of the Lord and have good health through it. Why? Because you have a good report. Amen. Want to know the most miserable people I've ever seen? Are the liars. They have an evil report. And they got no joy, they got no health, they got no strength. Why? Because they have a bad report. They have an evil report. And it follows them wherever they go. Acts chapter 10, verse number 22, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into this house, into his house, and to hear the words of thee. What happened there? He had a good report. And he has a good report. Cornelius. To tell the truth, evil or good about a man is not sowing discord or backbiting to those who need to know it. For instance, let me give you an example of this. If I knew somebody did good work, I would say they do good work. If I was asked if their work was good and it was not good, I'm not going to lie. So they either have a good, that's a false report, that's right. Yeah, false witness, that's right. Which is an abomination unto the Lord. You give the true witness. That's giving a report of who they are. That's not sowing discord. Now, if you're spreading things around about people that don't need to know about it, then yes, you are, because there's no reason to tell it. When people come to me about a situation, I don't tell them, okay, no, don't talk to me because I don't want you talking bad about somebody else. If they bring a legitimate concern to me, I'm going to listen to it. I've made the mistake of not doing that, and it's cost me. Acts chapter 16, verse number 1, then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Well reported of. They said, hey, this Timothy, he's got a zeal for the Lord, man. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a zeal for God. He's a good brother. It's a good report. Acts chapter 22, verse number 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. He had a good report. Ananias had a good report. But the Bible says a slanderous report is backbiting and lying. Psalms 101, verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. What does that mean to be slanderous? You know, the very definition of it, it means this: a false tale or report maliciously uttered. It's your intent. What are you saying it for? Are you being malicious? Intending to injure the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens or his fellow brethren, by exposing men to impeachment and punishment, or by impairing his means of lining, defamation, slander that worst of poisons ever finds an easy entrance in ignoble minds. Just planting little seeds about that person. Why? To maliciously tear them down. Why? Why should any child of God live their life like that? Why should we ever want to tear people down and destroy them like that? Why? I'll tell you why. Because you ain't a child of God, that's why. If you have a desire to do that constantly, oh, we all get tempted. I'm not talking about that. But is it your way of life? To be a whisper and a backbiter? You don't know what you've told so many lies. I saw that. So did you very recently. So many lies. Can't keep up with them. If I walk up to you and I ask you what you say and you can't tell me in a reasonable like amount of time, it's because you're lying. It's because you're a liar. Let me think about this for a second. I have to. I can't remember. That's what all the. By the way, that's what all the priests said that were pedophiles in the Twin Cities. All of them on the stand. That's what they said. I can't remember. You stinking wicked liars. You perverted wicked liars. I wish I was in that room. I would look and say, "Look, you stinking wicked, dirty, rotten, filthy pedophile liar. What do you mean you don't remember? Right. Yes, you do." Yeah, exactly. I'd be kicked out real quick. But I'd go like all Oliver Cromwell on him is what I'd do. That's what I'm telling you right now. I'd be like all Oliver Cromwell on him. That's what I would do. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know who Oliver Cromwell is. Right? Amen. Be like, okay, you don't leave those Waldensians alone? Okay, we're going to go bomb all. We're going to kill all of you. We're coming there, and we're going to attack Rome, and we're going to just blow it up. Yeah? Same people? Yeah. I mean, you can make that trial really. Did you do this? Yes. Okay, hang him. Done. You're done. That's a hangable offense right there. Right? Unless we got a bunch of soft pansies now. You need to rehabilitate him. Yeah, at the end of a noose. Yeah, they protected the pedophiles. That's right. And they kept saying over and over again, well, I don't remember. I don't remember. That's a false witness. Yes, you do remember. Stop lying. Yeah, God remembers. That's right. It means also, by the way, that slander also means disgrace, reproach, disreputation. It means to defame, to injure by maliciously uttering a false report respecting one, to tarnish or impair the reputation of one by false tales maliciously told or propagated. To slander a man is a false report. You slander him to try to make him little. Try to lessen him in the eyes of people to make yourself feel better. It's wicked. Some people have it in their mind, well, I can never talk about anything because it's backbiting and slander. No, it's not. Telling a true report is not slander. That's Satan's psychological warfare to keep sin thriving in a church or anywhere else. Well, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to backbite. If they did evil, it's a true report. It's not backbiting. It's true. You know what Proverbs 10:18 says? It says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. But notice what he says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips. They're hiding their hate. They're just hiding it. They're doing it with their lips. Mm-hmm. There are things that we do not need to tell others. Right? We understand that. But if you were going to work on my car, my house, my computer, and I knew you did a bad job, I don't want you to do it to somebody else. If they ask me, I'm going to tell them the truth. It's not slander. But if I go around bashing you to others for all your faults, that's slander. 1 Timothy 3:11 says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanders. The deacon's wives, not going around slandering, talking bad about people, giving false reports about people. Sober, faithful in all things, the Bible says. How about this report that was given in 1 Corinthians 5:1? It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Oh, well, they shouldn't have told Paul. Man, they were backbiting that guy. I mean, that guy was living in fornication, strutting around the church, but hey, you told on him? Oh, man, you're wicked. You should have got church. They should have called a meeting and churched the guy out that sent the letter to Paul and said, hey, man, there's a bunch of whores up in here. Right? They're just running around the church, spreading their fornication, laughing about it. And they're puffed up. Right. You know what they're puffed up about? Their knowledge. Oh, we know all these things. Yeah, but you don't have any practical holiness. You don't have any practical separation and holiness. And you don't have any wisdom either, because you're at strife one with another, which we're going to talk about, by the way. I told you you're going to be here for a while. Amen. Paul must have been wicked for receiving that report, right? No, he was the one that could take care of it. By the way, he said that he wanted to come in meekness, but he would come with the rod if he had to. A pastor has to use both. You know, there's a few uses for the rod. One's to kick out wolves and goats, and sometimes to spank the sheep when they need it. And sometimes they need it. Amen. We all do. Yes, sir. Amen? Amen? Mm-hmm. Second Corinthians 6:8 says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. See, they were lied about. They gave evil reports about Paul, and he didn't do anything to them to cause him to do that. The Bible also talks about, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. You know the common trend of these people that I have seen that are sowing discord, and they are full of bitterness and backbiting and whispering? The only thing they meditate is on bad reports. That's all they meditate on is bad. They never meditate on what's good. Not the blessings of God, the wonderful things that God has done, which I witness and I step back and I see and I'm shocked. I'm like, why aren't you praising God? If I had what happened to you right there, I'd be doing cartwheels in this place. But you didn't know about it. You know why you didn't know about it? Because they only think on evil things. That's why. Shows the condition of the heart. Mm-hmm. An ungrateful, wicked, bitter spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, biblical preaching like this is not fun. It doesn't make you feel good, and it's not designed to. It is to help you get right. Just remember the words of Jesus Christ, what he said to his church. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Remember that. That was to one of his churches, right? To the church of Laodicea, I believe. They were lukewarm, and he said, no, be fiery. Right, yeah. Be hot. Amen. Be zealous. Repent. The right reaction to biblical preaching is not self-pity. It's repentance. Amen. It's to be zealous and have a revenge against sin and go after. And you know what? The violent take it by force. It's like, you know what? Hey, I seen something in my character today that I didn't like. And man, I just rebuked it right away. No, I hate that. I'm not going to do that. I don't like it. It's wicked as hell. I hate it. I'm not doing it anymore. Lord, rebuke that. Get it away from me. I don't want to even be that way. Just done. Done. I don't like it. It's self-pity and wickedness. Get it done with. You got no right to be that way. Quit you like men. Be strong. You have no right to be that way. If you're breathing, you're blessed. Remember that. More than you deserve is that breath you have in your lungs right now. We deserve to be in the pit of hell burning for all of eternity. Man, I'm getting there. I got to keep moving, though. If you're dwelling on evil reports and everything becomes negative to you and your whole life is negative, the Bible says that good report fattens the bones. You ever, you know, a common trait of depression is that you're thinking about yourself all the time. Well, let me tell you something. Knowing who I am, that is depressing. Right? It is. I mean, to look at myself and be like, I think I'll dwell on myself here. No, I don't really think I want to do that, because that's pretty depressing. I think I'll think about Jesus Christ and his goodness to me and about others who I can help instead of myself all the time. Because I'm not much to think about. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. He must have a good report. 1 Timothy 5:10 says, well reported of for good works was the widow. She's to be well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work. Hey, here's a hint. I'm going to preach on widows and the widows indeed. I'm going to preach on that coming up, because there needs to be some teaching on that. But and what a widow is, biblically, what that widow is and the care that's supposed to be there and things like that. But I want to say something to you. Here's a hint. You notice how everything is not about her and it's about what she does for others? Hey, young lady, guess what? It's not about you. It's about what you do for others. It's about what you're doing for Christ. It's about how you're living for God. It's about your life in Christ. It's not about you. When you keep making it about you, yeah, you should be depressed. That's real depressing. Thinking about yourself all the time. Yeah, it is narcissistic. That's right. It's okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, it says. It says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And the Bible talks about a good report of Demetrius, hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. By the way, I got this mixed up in my outline, but Hebrews 11:2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By what? By faith. You want to know a man that's full of faith? He has a good report. He has a good report. People look at him and say, yeah, that's an honest person. That's a man that loves the Lord. That's a lady that loves the Lord. That's a lady that strives to please God in all things. That's a good report. Right? All right, so what is sowing discord then? We covered that giving a good report or giving their evil report. Notice it says their evil report. He gave their evil report. This is what they did. You know, giving the honest report of what a man is and what he's doing and his actions, and if he's backbit or if he's whispered or if he's treated people poorly or if he's done bad work or whatever the case would be, that's not evil. That's not wrong. I believe we've already established that from Scripture, that there is a report that goes out about all men and all women. There's a report, right? If you don't like the report, change it. Amen. Don't ask people to lie for you. Get right with God. It ought to be a good. You ought to have a good report. Every Christian ought to have a good report. Right. Yeah, we're going to be slanderously reported. We understand that. We're going to be slandered. I'm talking about among the brethren that know you're real. They should know you're true. They should know you're right with God.
Amen.
And that you should have a good report. Should be very clear. And that's what you should want, desire. Somebody hires you or sends you to go do some work, or you're there to help somebody or whatever. You better have a good report.
Right.
People thinking that, well, they don't do a good job. They won't do right by you. I've had a lot of people tell me I won't hire Christians. They just don't do it. They don't do good work. Yep. I just can't do it because I get messed over. They'll go hire a Muslim. Don't like it? Change it.
Amen.
Amen. Change it. If you're a child of God, you can change that report to be a good report. You can get right with God about some things. And you can, I'm sorry, just look at your son. He's cracking me up. just that look. That's great. Look at that. He's smiling at me. See, he likes good preaching. Look at that. See that? Right. Amen. All right, anyway, sorry. I can't look at babies very long. They make me laugh because they smile and stuff, and it's just, like, that's good that they're smiling, though. But anyway, it does make me laugh. But change it. If you have a bad report, change it.
Amen.
Do things right.
Yeah.
And you know what? The best thing is people are forgiving. If you'll repent, if you'll change, if you'll do right, people will forgive you. They will. They'll just be like, no, it's good. I understand. And they'll give you another chance to do right.
Right. Amen.
Multiple chances to do right. Yep. But if you're going to be evil and never do right, beware.
Right.
Okay, so what is sowing discord then? The word discord is used twice in the same chapter. Our two witnesses are found right there in Proverbs chapter 6. God hates the person that sows discord. You understand that? Well, no, God hates him doing it. No, it says God hates him, right? Yeah, exactly. What does the Bible say about that very clearly? It says that he hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Right? Amen. It's, yep, and he that soweth discord. Look at that. Yeah, it's very specifically. It's and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates him. That should be a t-shirt. Don't be that guy. That's right. Or girl, that's right. Amen. That's right. Especially, that's right. Disagreement. What does that discord mean? Disagreement among persons or things. That's what discord is. Between persons, differences of opinion, variance, opposition, contention, strife. Any disagreement which produces angry passions, contests, disputes, litigation, or war. He has war in his heart. That's right. You know, discord is an act of war. You understand that. In a church, it's an act of war. From whence come wars and fightings among you? What is it? It's war. You are waging war. What does discord mean? Well, if something's in accord, it's what? It's in harmony. It's in peace. But when you hear a chord that's off, and I'm not a musician, but when you hear something's off, what is that? It's discord. Yeah. See what that means? God wants his church and the brethren to be in harmony. Not, and the sisters to be in harmony, not to be in discord. Amen? Now that doesn't mean we're always going to agree on every single thing. We're not talking about that. But you know what? On things that we differ, do we really have to turn it into an argument? Does it have to be a big, huge blow-up? Do we have to cause discord with it? Or can we just quietly disagree? And say, as I look at everything for the good of everything, and it's not compromising anything fundamentally and ruining and destroying anything, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be quiet. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you think these older men here in this church have always agreed with everything that I've ever done? I'm not dumb enough to believe that. But can I tell you something? You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it.
Amen.
They didn't come up to me the first time they had a disagreement with me and be like, and take me in the office and hammer me about it and be like, oh, I can't believe you're doing that. Blah, blah. Not one time. I've seen it happen many times. I've seen it happen with many young Christians think that they have to go tell the pastor everything they disagree with. You want to know, like I said before, though, you want to know the most amazing thing about that is nobody listens to what you have to say for the most part. And those that are reserved and those that wait, those that pray, Then they come and they talk, and you know what happens? They convince me. I look at it and say, that's the word of God. I think you're right. I think that was wrong. I think we'll change it. Why? Because they're not trying to cause discord. You don't think I'm aware that men that are older in age than me, that have been around longer than me, men like Brother Finney that have wisdom, that have been in churches, that have done things, that he doesn't see some things? Of course he does. I know he does. But he never used that gray hair over there against me. What's that? A lot of pastors gave that to you. That's right, brother. Amen. That's right. But you know what, though? He never used it against me. He always used it to help me. He always used it to help me. You think Brother Bice, he's been in churches for 30 years. You think that he doesn't see some things? Think he hasn't seen some things? But he doesn't use it to cause discord. That's the last thing he'd want to see, is tear the whole thing down just to be right about something.
Right.
Some of you young men are like playing Jenga, and you'll pull the one block out to destroy everything to be right. That's not wisdom. Nor is anybody asking you to compromise. They're asking you to use wisdom and learn. He soweth discord, says John Trapp, and so shows himself a true breathing devil. I like how Trapp puts things. A disciple of Machiavelli, whose maxim was divide, make division, and get dominion. Oh, this sounds familiar. Who does that besides Satan? Who else does that? There you go. In the year 1579, Alan Reams instructed his emissary seducers, sent over into England to make way for their great project of perdition in 1588 by dividing the people under the terms of Protestant and Puritan and provoking them thereby to real and mutual both hate and contempt. And what laboring there is now by the Jesuit party, he says, this is way back in the 1500s, by the Jesuit party to heighten our unhappy differences. Hey, wait, don't they still do that? Who's a part of the race war? Yep. That they make themselves masters of all. Do you hear that? That's who sows discord. I want to read that to you again. And what laboring there is now by the Jesuit party to heighten our unhappy differences, that they may make themselves masters of all. That's what sowers of discord do. They sow discord, they manipulate, and then they're controlling it all. So what? Divided, right? Divided we fall, right? So what happens is that when they're divided, when we're divided, like when they could keep black and white people divided and fighting and warring and hating each other, and people fighting and warring and hating each other, who steps back and who stands to gain from it all? The whole Illuminati structure, right? Satan's kingdom. All of them. Jesuits, Jewish bankers, all of them, the elite, all of them, they all gain, and we all get destroyed.
Right.
That's the discord. One said of about the Jesuits here, and they deal of the like factors for the devil in his time as the master of the pit, who offsets two cocks to fight together to the death of both, that after mutual conquest, he may sup with both their carcasses. Right? Just sit back and watch the two parties and divide and whisper and separate chief of friends. Then sit back and feast on their carcasses as they're both destroyed. That's Satan's kingdom.
Right.
And that's the wheat, that's the tares among the wheat. That's what he tries to do, is destroy, divide, division. It says chief of friends. Got to destroy those relationships that are strong. Because without destroying those, we can't get victorious.
Right.
That's what a sower of discord does. I'm going to tell you like I told somebody very recently. Sometimes you're so deceived, you don't know how much the devil's really using you. You have no clue. But those that have their discernment, their exercise, they can see it. Those that have those exercise gifts of discernment and things that they've used over the years, they can see it. And they're not falling for it. Payday someday. The Jews, before they were banished out of this kingdom, threw bags of poison into the well and fountains that the people were to drink of, and thereby endeavored to poison them all. So do our seedsmen of sedition. They sow seeds to cause discord. What does that mean? Soweth, casteth forth, or excites. Such men are perpetually at work contriving mischief, exciting, suspicious, stirring up hatred, strife, brawls, lawsuits, discords in families, and revolutions in governments. They cast forth that seed. They plant seeds of discord. A little disparaging comment here, a slander here, a subtle slander here, a subtle one there. All to set up and destroy the faith of that person. Designed to rebel and to destroy leadership because they're not going to get right with God and they don't want to get right with God. They want to destroy. They separate chief of friends to sow a seed of doubt in the mind about that brother. They try to manipulate what they do is, which is one of the seeds, by the satanic seeds of discord. What they try to do is they try to separate and they try to isolate one person and destroy that person in the sight of everybody they can. And other people they'll be nice and kind to, but they try to destroy that person. And they manipulate and they destroy that person. Yep. And they treat everybody else nice, right? Yep, give them gifts, everything else, that's right. I like this comment here. Let sowers of strifes hear what is written. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And on the other hand, let them gather that if they who make peace are called the children of God, without doubt, those who confound it are the children of Satan. Moreover, all who are separated by discord from the greenness of loving kindness are dried up. And though they bring forth in their actions fruits of well-doing, yet they are in truth no fruits, because they spring not from the unity of charity. Hence, therefore, let sowers of strifes consider how manifoldly they sin, in that while they perpetrate one iniquity, they eradicate at the same time all virtues from human hearts. For in one evil they work innumerable evils. Since in sowing discord, they extinguish charity, which is in truth the mother of all virtues. They've got no love in their hearts, and they only sow wickedness. But since nothing is more precious with God than the virtue of loving kindness, nothing is more acceptable to the devil than the extinction of charity. All that is designed to destroy the love of people. Not really by the person that's doing it, but the devil that's behind them. Yeah. The tool of Satan that's being used to sow the seeds of discord to destroy people's love. That's what it's about. So you won't love anybody. Three people that I've worked with for a very long time stabbed me in the back. And what is it designed to do? Destroy your love. Stop loving people. Don't get close to people. Don't trust people. They'll hurt you. Stay away from them. Put a shield up. Harden your heart. Don't let them in. Don't let them in again. Don't let it happen again. Right? It's not going to work. By God's grace. I know what I've been forgiven of. For in one evil work they work innumerable evils, since in sowing discord they extinguish charity, which is in truth the mother of all virtues. But since nothing is more precious with God than the virtue of loving kindness, nothing is more acceptable to the devil than the extinction of charity. Whosoever then, by sowing of strifes, destroy the loving kindness of neighbors, serve God's enemy as his familiar friend, because they, taking away from them this, by the loss of which he fell, they have cut off from them the road whereby to rise. Sowers of discord sow the seeds of bitterness, anger, distrust, and hatred into the ground of other people's hearts. These actions do not come from the Spirit of God. Such divisive behavior is included in what the Bible calls the works of the flesh. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. Verse number 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. What do we see there? Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. Such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not a fleshly battle. It's a spiritual one. It is not this man versus that man, but the spiritual enemies of Christ versus his church. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Sowers of discord are usually driven to serve their own interests and are themselves driven, scourged, and mired in relentless spin. These sowers exploit the passion, emotion of others, and more often than not, derive pleasure from conflict. They sit back and they watch what they've caused and they laugh about it. After they've caused all the strife, sometimes they are aware of what they are doing, but sometimes they just play into the hands of spiritual forces that are intent upon destroying the mission of the church. Taken captive. They regularly nourish these feelings that drive their behavior by brooding on real or perceived past injuries. And this is like a playbook of what I've seen, these comments. It's just unreal. Present suspicions and future insecurities. Right? They are often propelled by inner turmoil. When you see a man like that, it's because he's got no peace himself. So he can't give out peace. He can't dispense any peace, can he? He doesn't have any. So what comes out of him? Strife, discord, anger. The sower of discord probes the vulnerabilities of others. They look for the weaknesses. They prey on the weak person. Oh, here's a young person that's impressionable that I can manipulate and control because I'll use their kindness and their naiveness against them. Let me attach myself to this person. So then I can manipulate their feelings, I can manipulate my relationship with them, and I can get them caught up in the same discord that I'm in. The sower of discord probes the vulnerabilities of others, seeking for weak points to expose and exploit. Oh, I'm going to expose this weakness of this person right here and exploit it to my advantage. I'm going to use their weakness to my advantage. It's wicked. I'm going to use their youth, their naiveness. I'm going to use it to my advantage. Sowers of discord generally may present some valid points, but generally do not offer constructive criticism. Right. They're not exposing that error in their brethren to help them to grow from it and to get right. They're doing it to maliciously tear them down and destroy them. Instead of pulling God's people together, they divide them. They project their angry, hostile behaviors onto people in the congregation, usually the leaders. Why? Because that's what Satan does. He attacks leadership. But he doesn't do it straight on, because Adam would have cut the serpent's head off. Because if he would have came up to him and started saying, "Hey, what's up?" he would have been like, "Whoa, dead, gone, see ya, get out of here." Right? But he caught the intrigue. The woman would be intrigued by him. Right? So he knew that she'd be intrigued. That's how they do it. He attacked Adam, Adam's headship through Eve. Attack on leadership, rebellion. Whispers, just like Satan. Same thing. They never go after leadership directly. Well, how could they? Unless that leader's in sin, they can't. So they do it through subversion. Right? They never look people in their eye, hardly ever. They walk around with their head down all the time. That's right. Sowers of discord seek to attract followers to make their divisive cases appear stronger. They got to have a tag team partner. They got to get somebody else on board. Somebody that feels the same way. That they've nurtured in them. They've planted those seeds of discord in that person to try to destroy leadership or destroy whoever they destroy any type of leadership, and they plant that in there, and then they try to get another person to believe the same thing. Why? It's all been planted. I single-handedly watched somebody lie and manipulate so long to a person in their close relationship that they completely lied for years to them. I mean, completely lied and turned them against everybody and said that everybody was against them, and they really weren't. It was all a lie. It was all a lie. It was all made up. But in that person's mind, because the person they trusted and they loved manipulated them and lied to them and turned them against the very person or people that could help them. It is. Oh, yeah. Yep. James 3:16 says, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." So what are some of these seeds of discord? I'm going to give you one here. How about envy? Envy is one of those seeds. By definition, envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, success, possessions, etc. It is unhappiness with what someone else has or who they are, and it sometimes leads men to act on that feeling to the point of trying to knock them down a notch in the pathetic belief it will make the envious one feel or look better. I've got to knock them down. I've got to humble them. I've got to knock them down a notch. So I've got to talk bad about that person. I've got to sow seeds of discord about that person. I've got to be malicious towards that person so I can look better than I really am, because I don't look very good. Because I'm wicked as hell. Proud. That's right. We're going to get to that too. So they try it. That's one of the seeds, envy. One of those seeds is tail-bearing. A tailbearer. Turn to Proverbs 11:13, please. Man, I'm telling you, I don't even charge for overtime. Look at this. This is great. Right? I've been charging for overtime. Huh? It's wonderful. Bonus, that's right. How come if a game goes in extra innings, all the sports people go nuts? But if a preacher goes in extra innings, they all get nervous. They all get tired. They all want to go home. I'm not even going to charge you. That's right. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Proverbs 20:19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him. Look at this. Another satanic, a satanic seed. Meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. That flattery is a tool of the Antichrist, a tool of the devil. Just false flattery. You can tell it's, it just makes you sick hearing it. What's that? Yeah, exactly. Just the thought of it. It just makes you sick to your stomach when you hear it because you know it's fake and you don't even mean it. Should we be surprised that he also says a perverse man sows strife? Turn to Proverbs 16, verse number 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A froward man, it means a perverse man, right? What's one of the definitions? An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burn. This is a burning fire. Yep. James said the tongue, that flame, that tongue of fire, right? Fire of hell. Sowing discord through talebearing. Some of those secrets that the man reveals are the kind that stirs up anger and resentment, suspicion and doubt, and the kind that begins to drive a wedge between those who may have otherwise been able to worship and serve the Lord together with somebody in peace and harmony. But now I had to leave a doubt in your mind about that person. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love correcteth all things, all sins, excuse me. Proverbs 10:12. But love covereth all sins. Hatred stirs up strifes. Hatred being a lack of love. We see that when we lack love, strife, that is discord, can certainly be the result. The one who lacks love has no motivation or interest in keeping the peace or working in unity with others. It is, and they can't do it. You can bring a whole gang of church people in to help, and they can't do it. Why? Because they got hate in their heart. But they got to blame everybody else for it. Yep. The one who lacks love has no motivation or interest in keeping the peace or working in unity with others. It isn't always the case that he goes out of his way to destroy someone else, but just that he has no true concern for them, and so he does nothing that would foster goodwill or cause others to want to work together in the work of the Lord. Another seed of discord is pride. Pride is simply an attitude of believing one is more important or more valuable than is true. It's a false estimation of yourself. With that, a concurrent belief that others are not as important as you. This attitude will inevitably lead to strife because one will not be willing to yield, even on matters that are unimportant. Little things that don't matter become like this federal case. Like, why are we arguing about this? This doesn't even, I mean, I'm telling you, like, I could tell you stories of like 100 of them for the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month or whatever. Things that should never have been an argument for any reason at all. But why? Because only with pride cometh what? There's another sermon I'm preaching, satanic sabotage, but that just hit my mind, but I'll move on. Sorry. That's how my mind works sometimes. It just does. It works. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Thinking himself important. Oh, wait, let me back up. The proud man will demand his way, will never admit wrongdoing, and will often seek to blame problems on or shift the blame to others. Every time. Thinking himself important, the proud man will stand firm in his arrogance and refuse to budge for the bullheaded belief that any compromise is a sign of weakness, and he would rather destroy a church than admit wrong. Yep. Another seed of that is anger. Finally, it may be that divisiveness and that discord is seen in those who harbor great anger toward others for either real or simply perceived reasons. Uncontrolled anger can lead men to say and do things they will later regret and may alter forever relationships that might otherwise be peaceful and long-lasting. An angry man will act and or speak rashly without thought to what is heard by others or how his actions will affect others. If it is not ever controlled, the damage will continue to mount and the life he leaves behind him parallels the destructive path of a tornado, ruining everything and everyone in his path. I have family members like that. They're like a tornado. They destroy everything around them. And I'm watching people from their lives commit suicide and die, and they still don't wake up. Six people. Yeah? Six people. One recently, a week ago. Before that, both people I have known for 25 years of my life. Dead and in hell. I know. Proverbs 15:18 says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Yep. The harvest of it is devastating, though. You know, when you sow seeds, what happens? You reap, right?
Yep.
So what do you reap? What happens? There's a few things, but one of these things in particular, animosity. After that grows up, then animosity comes from that. It would almost go without saying that a man that sows discord in the presence of discord among God's people would result in feelings of animosity towards the troublemaker and towards each other. If our enemy is successful, the very purpose of the divisive man is to sow discord among brethren, and if successful, those who should love one another will dislike each other instead. Yep. Got to sow the seeds, right, to destroy the church, kill the leadership, kill all faith, all the charity. Church relationships are destroyed. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know what I find so amazing? I have heard people say, yeah, there's a problem with unity in the church. There's a problem with it. You know, the problem was always with them.
Yeah, right.
Every time they said that, I was like, ding, ding, ding. Bell's going off. You're revealing who you are. Because when I watch 10 men go out and preach, and they don't have disunity.
Amen. Right.
And the one that don't has all of it. Why? Because they got a different spirit. Called Antichrist. And those, well, this church isn't friendly. Yeah. Well, if you believe that, it's because you're not. Because I know everybody here, and I know what they do for each other, and you're a liar.
Amen.
Did I make myself clear enough? You're a liar. That's right. That's right. And I know these people, okay? I know all of them. I've been around them. I've fellowshipped with them. They have loved one another. They have given to one another. They have sacrificed for one another. And they would do it all again.
Amen.
You're a liar. 1 Corinthians 3:3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Carnal. First Corinthians 11:18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Paul says, I've seen all this stuff that's going on, and I believe it. There's some stuff going on. That's that spirit of strife and envy. Yeah, because of an evil report that was, their evil report was given. Exactly. What does it do? It destroys you. The seeds of discord, the harvest. What's the harvest that the devil wants? To destroy unity in the church and power. They want to destroy. They want to get and enter the strong man's house, right? What's that? Yeah, take away the candlestick, destroy it, level it, leave it flat so Satan can have his heyday.
Yeah, amen.
Because we don't want a light, do we? That's what Satan wants anyway. He doesn't want a light in this anywhere.
Right.
I see a lot of attacks online. Always against me, against this ministry. But Satan knows the ones in here affect the most.
Right, yeah, right.
He knows it.
Right.
Yep. Sows the seed of discouragement. A common result of an attitude and atmosphere of discord is that others will become discouraged. Those who are already believers will be discouraged that peace and unity do not exist or cannot exist because of the discord. And those who are not yet believers are discouraged because they expected better of those who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. Believers will be discouraged because they strive to be faithful followers of God and of Christ and set a godly example, only to have the divisive or the man with discord destroy everything they have built and done and made it difficult to have an atmosphere conducive to accomplishing much of anything in the Lord's work. What do they want? Confusion, strife, discord. Why? Because then there's no unity. And to get the preacher off of what he's doing, what God has called him to do, to distract him. Do you know how much with all the stuff that's went on, how much I have had to deal with and take care of? And the amount of hours and time and everything else. Why? Because that's the devil's plan. So I can be cleaning up messes all the time.
Right.
Instead of doing more that needs to be done. More work. Now this is the most important and this will be taken care of first. Always. The household of faith, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Without it being strong, nothing will matter. But that's the goal. It's not going to work. By God's grace, it isn't going to work. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Lord's church. Ultimately, it brings condemnation. So what's the answer for it? Accountability. Accountability. Matthew chapter 18. Open rebuke is better than secret love. You know, when a brother trespasses, we bring him to repentance. We deal with it. When he doesn't, we deal with that also. We have much forgiveness, but at the end of the day, if they won't get right, then guess what happens? They have to leave. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 10 says, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease." It's amazing how much unity you have when the scorner and the one that causes strife is cast out, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how that happens? How the Lord uses that, right? Amen. You know, church discipline is designed to, like 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says, turn them over to the destruction of the flesh, and in the end the soul will be saved. But you know what? To those that are wrong, to those that aren't saved, it can kill them. To those that are saved, it can still kill them. God is not slack about dealing with it, and neither should we. The Bible says that if he will not repent, what is he? He's a heathen and a publican. I'm sorry, I'm not finding the right verse here for the heathen and the publican. Thank you. "Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Pastor Cooley doesn't kick any member out of this church.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says, the mouth of two or three witnesses,
right,
let every word be established. The church, the men of the church, make those decisions. It says, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Won't listen to the truth, won't listen, then cast them out. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're almost done. See, we live in a day and age where people hate discipline, authority, oversight, accountability. Those are all bad words today to people. Why? Because they want to go on and live any old way they want to, be a Christian by themselves as if that's the way God intended them to be, and not have any accountability, and do what they want, and continue on. But when you get into a body, guess what happens? Well, I'm accountable to God, that's it, right? Says every rebellious man that I've ever heard in my life. I'm accountable to God. Right. Right, exactly. So follow the word of God. Right. Exactly. Paul said to cast them out, right? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Verse number 5, it says to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. What does it say here? That's right. Verse number 11, but now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You know, another way to defeat that spirit, though, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. All knowledge. See that? I got all these facts. I know all these things. Wonderful. What good does it do anybody? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. See that? What's the sign of the sword? Discord, envy. Long-suffering, they're the opposite of long-suffering. Kind, they're the opposite of kind. Charity vaunteth not itself. I got to be better than that person, so I'm going to put him down. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Oh, you mean not narcissistic? Self-absorbed. Everything's about you. Yep, you're not loving anybody. Is not easily provoked. Sometimes you wonder why I don't react to things or act on things right away. Because you would. That's why. There's one thing you will not be able to accuse me of by God's grace, and that is the fact that I have not been long-suffering through situations. And I have not given that I have not given space to repent. By warning you in sermons like this. Over and over and privately, over and over again. Yeah, and then God shows me, no, you're done. No more. I've taken it out of your hands. And I have to step back and say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'm out of the way now. I can only stand in the gap for so long. When God says it's finished, I step out of the way. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Evil surmising, you're not loving. What did he mean by that? Then you get this whole evil imaginations in your mind. Then you pretty much have it to where, okay, so this guy's going to kick my door and blow everybody up, take all my money. That pastor's after everything. What is that? Evil surmising? Yep. About your brethren. Oh, look at the fault of that person. Then you start to think about it. And then all of a sudden, you have a word. You went, what do they mean by that? Well, ask them what they meant by it. Yeah. Don't just keep thinking about it. Right. What do you mean by that? Amen. How hard is that? You start thinking like a psycho in your mind and going over. You start thinking like a devil in your mind. And then the devil whispers you, and it gets like this big. And then you go up and ask him, hey, what do you mean by that? Well, that's what I meant. Oh, okay. Well, it's over. I know the devils are stopped. They're going to stop talking to your head now, right? Because it's over, right? It's that simple. You just ended it right there. Why? Because you love and you think no evil. That's why. A lot of times when somebody comes to me about something, I'm like, no, I don't want to believe that's true. Now, I still investigate it, but I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe that's true. Man, I challenge them. Many times, you can ask the many, I challenge, are you sure? I mean, are you sure? Over, I mean, are you sure about that? Really? And the Nate emphatically explains it to me in the Nate Marino way, that I will finally get it. Yes, I'm very sure. is that the way it is? Okay, he's very sure now. Like, seriously? Yeah, seriously. What do you think, I'm kidding? Because why? Because I don't want to believe it. And by the way, that's anybody that comes to some. I think I'm that way. Are you sure? I mean, do you really? I mean, Brother Dave, I'm like, really? I mean, are you sure? It's like, yeah, I'm sure. Because I don't want to believe it. Yeah. Lee's like that too. I tell him, are you sure? He doesn't want to believe it either. Why? Because we don't want to think evil. And you're like that. You don't want to think evil. I don't want to think they meant. And that's, you got to be careful, though, because that's what a sower of discord uses against you, too.
Right.
The fact that you don't want to disarm you so you won't use your discernment, right. Spiritual discernment.
Right.
That's why you have to ask them, what did you mean by that?
Right.
Call them on it. What did you mean by that?
Yep.
So now what do they have to do? They have to tell you that what they meant by that. Then you can dispel it all and it's over. Wow, it's really going in overtime. I got to move. Okay. I didn't preach on Sunday, so now you're getting a double. Either way, you're going to get preached to. That's right. Either way. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. In the iniquity of others or your own, rejoiceth not in it. But rejoiceth in the truth. Yeah, exactly. Rejoicing in the preaching of God's word, rejoicing in those things. By the way, rejoicing when somebody else is blessed.
Amen.
Not despising the fact that they were blessed and thinking evil. Well, why don't I have what they have? Well, maybe if you got your heart right with God, you would.
Amen.
Maybe if you rejoiced and thanked God for it, maybe you would.
Amen.
And even if you didn't, you're still blessed. Again, you got breath, you're blessed.
Amen.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Amen. That means going through all those things, bear ye one of those burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Loving people through the hardest times of their life, seeing them through the challenges of their life, and not giving up, and bearing things, believing, having faith. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. They shall fail, excuse me. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. That's interesting, isn't it, by the way? That one says cease. That one says cease. Does say cease.
Yeah,
yep. Does say that. Exactly. It says prophecies, they shall fail, but it says whether there be tongues, they shall cease.
Yep.
Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. You want to dispel that? Then you love somebody. You love people.
Amen.
You want to dispel that seeds of discord? You love people.
Amen.
That's what you do. You love them.
Amen.
Love them when they're not lovable.
Amen.
That's right. And don't accept that seed. When that seed of discord is brought to you, you ask them, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? If it sounds questionable, ask them, well, what do you mean by that? What was your point in making that statement? Especially, listen, I have to hear a lot of things a lot of times because I am a pastor and things are brought to me. So I have to deal with them when they come. I can't be like, no, I can't hear you. That's how trouble comes. But I can't, but when you hear things, when things come, don't allow people to sow seeds of discord to you. Don't be the person that listens to that and hears that and accepts that. And then in turn you start sowing those same seeds, because you're being set up to do that, by the way. You're being set up to be used of Satan. And then you'll start thinking critical of other people. Oh, that brother, he's this way and he's that way, or he thinks he knows everything. He thinks this and he thinks that, and you start talking about each other like that. Start thinking those thoughts about each other like that. Well, how do you know he thinks that? Have you asked him that? Right? Have you asked him? Have you talked to him? When have you sat down with him and talked to him? When you hold somebody accountable that sows seeds of discord, you know what they do? They run. Or they go try somebody weaker that they can manipulate. Whoop, I'm done there. I can't get away with that. You know why some of you don't experience that? You're like, that never happens here. Well, you know what? You know why they don't do it to like Lee and other men and Brother Bicey and people like that? You know why? Because they're going to be like, why are you saying that? You shouldn't say that about people. Our brother Finney, because he's older, wiser. Why would you say that about them? Why would you do that? You're not 90. But why would you say that about them? Why? They're not going to, and they don't come to me and do it, unless they do it real subtly. And then I start to notice it, and then I call them on it. It's like, well, why are you saying that? Then they don't do it anymore. But they'll do it to those that they think have a sympathetic ear for it, that maybe they sense might have a little bit of problem with somebody. Like maybe they're weaker, and maybe they don't know what's going on. So then they see somebody that's been manipulated heavily, they become heavy manipulators a lot of times. So what they do is they look for a weaker person that's vulnerable, somebody they can take advantage of, and then they look to them, and they pounce on them. And they do nice things for them. And they are kind to them so they can take advantage of them, so they can control them and manipulate them. And then when something is wrong, that person has so many mixed feelings about how to deal with it, because that person, well, they've been nice to me, and they've done this for me, and they've done that for me. And what you don't realize is you've been manipulated. And that's what's going on. And that's what Satan uses to sow seeds of discord. And then when the person finally figures it out, they don't know what to do about it. And the answer is, you've got to go to whatever. If it's in a home, then you go to the leader of the home. If it's in the church, you go to church leaders. You go to elders. You deal with the issue. You go to the pastor. You deal with it. You get it dealt with. The first thing you do is shut down that person that's saying it. That's the first thing you do. Shut them down. Shut them down so they know I'm not here for you to talk to me like that. I'm not open to that type of discussion with you. If you got a problem, go take it up with the person. Amen? Then you take it up with them, right? That's what you do. You don't backbite. You don't allow them to backbite somebody in the name of, well, they won't be my friend, or they'll be upset with me if I tell them. Who cares if they're upset? They're wrong with God. They need to get right with God. They can shout or pout. Who cares? They need to get right with God. That's plain and simple. You don't love them very much, and you're not very much of a friend if you don't put them in their place when they're wrong. That isn't a good friend. That's actually hate, the Bible says. It's not love. Open rebuke is what? Better than what? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'll tell you what, I can, and I'm done, but I can attest to that to be very true. There are times when I have had faithful are the wounds of a friend, when a friend has come to me, a brother has come to me, and said some things to me in private, and they've talked to me about it. I was like, you know what? You're right. And I never got mad at him. Initially, I was a little shocked, but after it was over, I was like, you know what? You're right. That was wrong. Amen. I mean, I've done that publicly. I've done that in the pulpit. I've wrote it on YouTube. I said this comment and it was wrong. I put it right on there. Why? Because I want to be right with God.
Amen.
I don't want to lose the power of God and the joy of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And walk around depressed and defeated like you got a poopy diaper. Like you have poopy pants, right? I don't want to do that. Don't sing Patch the Pirate poopy pants songs, right? We're not doing that. Anyway, but that's, I don't want to live a defeated life. So if I'm wrong, I want to get right with God about it. And that's how you should be too. And that's how people that do that, they need to be put in their place. Maybe they'll stop. Or maybe they'll just hide it and go to somebody else. But at least they won't do it to you anymore.
Right.
And if they don't seem like they're repentant, then you go to leadership, you tell them, hey, this came up, they didn't seem very repentant to me, they seem like they're going to do it again to somebody. They look for victims.
Yeah.
They look for vulnerable people.
Yep.
And attach themselves to them so they can take advantage of them. Don't be a victim, be victorious.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the truths of the Word of God. Help us to live by Him every day. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord. We fail you in so many ways, Lord. Help us not to fail you in this way. Make us sensitive to it, Lord. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.